96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. No one gets married to get divorced. And when it happens, it is often unpleasant. And at worst, it can be an emotional and financial loss for both parties. Well, tonight, we'll talk about mistakes couples make when considering divorce and what to consider that could keep you out of divorce court. My guests are Michelle Thomas. She's a divorce attorney and relationship expert Gail Crowder. If you have a question, legal or otherwise, about divorce or staying together, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Gail, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about being here.
Absolutely. Michelle, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
You as well, Harold. Thanks so much.
Okay, Michelle, let me start with you. You've been an attorney for quite some time. How's business when it comes to divorce? Picking up, going away, about midways? How would you characterize it?
I mean, I hate to say it, but business is booming. I mean, there seems to be an increased trend toward people not sticking it out and moving toward divorce sooner rather than later. And also, the court system has made it even easier than what it used to be. So, for example, in Maryland, there used to be a 2-year waiting period for a no-fault divorce. Now there's a new ground called mutual and voluntary. You can get divorced right away. Mm-hmm. No waiting period anymore. So it's pretty busy over at MC Thomas. Yeah.
why do you think that is the case?
Well, I think as society has changed and societal values have changed, the divorce trend has followed that. So making it easier for people to get divorced. There are now websites where people can get divorced online. And also with the onset of this sort of online, everyone's sort of living their lives on social media, dating websites, there are just so many options. And so the candy looks good to people and they just no longer want to stick it out. And so you see as society has changed, so has the marriage and divorce trends.
From your perspective, Gail, for those people who may be troubled and moving towards divorce, do you see it as possible that some folks often back away from that? And if so, how?
Most of the time when people are thinking about divorce, they're living in the moment. They're upset. Their needs are not being fulfilled, all of those different things. And so where I come into play is I give them a chance to take a step back and to look and say, is this salvageable? Is this something that I just want to throw in a towel with so easy? And so I lead them through a series of stages to get them to go back to where they first fell in love. What made them attracted to that person? What made them say I do? And so I would say that my coaching practice is booming as well, because people are really thinking about, is this what I want my future to hold? Do I want to be alone? Because the dating market is pretty tough around these parts. And so a lot of them are thinking, maybe I need to take a step back, see what I can do to salvage this marriage and to stay the course and to, and religion, if you have some type of religious background, a lot of time that plays a part in the decision as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the mistakes couples make when considering divorce as they head to divorce court, as well as what they may need to consider to keep them out of divorce court. Let's talk, Michelle, about some of the mistakes that couples may make as they move toward divorce and indeed get to divorce court.
Sure. I mean, one of the first mistakes people can do is to go that process alone, meaning without the proper support, without legal counsel, without emotional support, as you talked about. That's one of the first things, because I believe that divorce should be your last resort. So after you've prayed about it, you've done everything you can, then you get to that point when you say, okay, you have to move forward. But one of the main mistakes I see people making is being completely unrealistic about their expectations going through the process and coming out of the process. So you look puzzled, but I'm just saying that that's one of the things. And then also being led by their anger. So this is not a process that should be used to seek revenge. And I often tell people, if you come to me with your stated goal of just trying to get the other side, I'm not the lawyer for you, because that's not what this process is for. It's about helping a family resolve a problem that they're having and transition out of it as peacefully as possible.
What is an unrealistic expectation?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, people may have demands of, let's say, having support. Everyone says, well, I want alimony. I want support. Well, if you make the same amount as your spouse, that's an unrealistic expectation. If you have supported your spouse for a couple of years during the marriage or throughout the marriage, that is an unrealistic expectation. And it's one that's being driven by anger and not one that's being driven by the reality of the situation. So I see that a lot as well. I see, particularly when you talk about children and custody, my goodness, unrealistic. I don't want to deal with him. I don't want anything to do with the other party. Well, no, you decided to have a child with that person. And so you need to be realistic and understand that the other side is going to be involved as the child grows up. So that those are just some of the examples of unrealistic. But Harold, I've seen a lot. I mean, I can go on and on.
I agree.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jackie calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Jackie, what's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I am going through, we're not divorced yet, but we're about to be, and he has an attorney. I don't.
Oh.
I simply cannot afford an attorney. I mean, the retainer fee for both of the attorneys that I had been considering is $3,500. I just don't have it. And I'm wondering, what do you suggest I do? Because I know that I need one.
Sure. So there are a lot of resources available to people that cannot pay the regular attorney rates. I don't know where your income level lies, but there are what's called low bono opportunities where law firms will charge lower rates than what are typically charged by attorneys. There's pro bono opportunities. There are self-help centers at most of the courthouses around town. So it's definitely worth pursuing those options, to contacting your local bar association, such as the DC Bar, asking about their referral service. So it's worth it to at least try to investigate and do some research on that, because one of the worst things you can do is go through that process without having had an attorney on your side when they have an attorney on theirs. The last thing you want to do is have regret coming out of the process.
Mm-hmm. Jackie,
yeah, that's what I hear. Thank you.
Jackie, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about mistakes couples make when considering divorce and what to consider that could keep you out of divorce court. James calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, James. What's on your mind?
Yes, my mate has left me. It's been about 6 years. I haven't had any contact with her. I've been trying to have contact. She left me with a house. I'm basically maintaining a house by myself, you know, and each lawyer I try to get in contact with, they tell me that I need to serve them in order to have, to start the procedure. And I'm trying to figure out, and by me maintaining a house by myself, what resources, I don't have the necessary resources to get an attorney or investigator to help me.
Well,
first of all, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry you're going through that process and that you're in the situation with the house. You do have to effect service. There are a lot of options to do that. Do you know where she is?
No, I don't know. I hear rumors here and there, but when I try to follow up on the rumors always come to be a dead end.
Well, have you tried looking on social media? Because most people are on some form of social media to try to maybe find out at least the location of where she is, so that way you can have a starting point. Have you?
I tried that first from Facebook, Twitter. I thought that, you know, that may give me a leeway to where they may be at. But so far, they've been staying off all networks.
So what should he do if he can't find her?
Right. So there's something called alternate service. So you can actually file a motion with the court of your jurisdiction and indicate all of the efforts you've made to attempt service or that you don't know where the person is. And you can ask to serve her by something called either posting at the courthouse or publication, meaning publishing it in your local paper. So there are ways to still move forward with the process if you do not know where the person is. And that's something that you should certainly contact either a lawyer or the self-help center at a courthouse to learn more about that.
Okay. James, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. James in Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, James?
How are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
Great. I just had a question. I was married in New York, and I was wondering, and I live now and reside in Virginia. I was wondering, do I have to go all the way back to New York to get the divorce?
No, typically where you were married is not what's going to matter. It's where you've lived for either the last 6 months or the last year before filing for divorce. That's typically where you would go in order to figure out where you should file.
Last question. One more quick question.
Go ahead.
Is there something like what they call irreconcilable differences? Like, you know, I don't know what the situation would be as far as.
You mean irreconcilable differences? Yeah.
Irreconcilable differences.
Go right ahead, Michelle, real quick.
Sure. So in this area or in Virginia, there's no ground for divorce called irreconcilable differences. But what we call it is a no-fault divorce, meaning that it's no one's fault. You're not blaming the other side, but that it just didn't work out, which is sort of akin to what you're saying. But it sounds like you really want to try to talk to a lawyer to get more information about how you should proceed and the grounds that you have to move forward.
Okay. James, thank you so much for your phone call. I've got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue the discussion about some of the mistakes that people make as they move toward divorce and in court. And we're also going to talk about what you may want to try to do before you throw in the towel. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're on the phone, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we will be taking your call, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your questions and comments about divorce and life before divorce court in just a bit. We drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about mistakes couples make when considering divorce and what to consider that could keep you out of divorce court. My guests are Michelle Thomas. She is a divorce attorney and relationship expert, Gail Crowder. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gail, talk to me about your experiences with couples that have pulled back from the brink. What was it that made them reconsider, and where in the process did they reconsider? The day of court, the week before, the month before? What happened?
No, most of the time, most people get to the brink when they have stopped communicating. Communication is one of the biggest reasons why people separate. And the other one is a lack of needs being met. And so when I can get them in the situation where they're able to communicate and they understand the process of communication, and most of the time there's a problem, there's the process, and then there's the end result. And most of the time, people want to just be heard. They want their feelings. They want their needs. They want all of those things to happen. And so if I can get them where they can sit down in a room and learn to communicate again, like they were when they was in love and they were doing all the things that made them happy, that can really stop them from going to the next level. If you can get your feelings, you can get whatever you have going on inside and get that person to really listen and to validate that they truly heard what you said and that you're valuable to them, you can stop a divorce. I really believe that communication is the biggest thing that breaks down before you get to that point.
I agree with that, Gail. I think that's an excellent point. What I've also seen a lot in my practice is a lack of appreciation and
Absolutely.
Gratitude.
Yes.
And I see that as being the underlying source that fuels all the other problems. The adultery,
yes.
everything else emanates from one person feeling not feeling valued. Right.
Yep. And not being heard, feeling like they're being taken for granted, all of those different
yeah.
things. If you can get those things in line, you can really start the process of healing.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Vanessa in White Plains. Hey, Vanessa, what's on your mind?
Good evening. I just wanted to, I heard earlier you spoke to a man about alternative methods of serving a spouse. And I'm divorced and been about a year now and have not been receiving what was awarded to me in my divorce settlement from my ex. And I have gone through sheriff's departments. I've gone through private processors. I've gone through the process of registered mail, certified. I've done everything that the courts have told me that I needed to do in Charles County. But at the same time, I did put in a request for alternative method of serving this person, and I was denied. I was denied by the magistrate of Charles County. And I still don't understand why, especially when I've done everything that they said that I needed to do legally.
Mm-hmm. And did you attempt this on your own without an attorney, it sounds like?
I have an attorney. My attorneys won't return my call because the other half was supposed to pay my legal fees. And because they didn't pay the legal fees, which was such exuberant amount of money, they don't return my telephone calls or even try to attempt me in this process. So I'm just kind of like stuck here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a really difficult process, and I'm sorry that that's happening at this point. You know, I would say it's really difficult to navigate through the system without competent legal counsel. And, you know, I would say, you know, all lawyers aren't created equally. I would suggest that you still consider trying to find representation to assist you through that, because typically when if you've made efforts to try to find the person, have the person served, and you've detailed those efforts in your motion for alternate service, then a possible outcome is that the court will grant that request and allow you to move forward by publication or posting. So I know you've tried it. I hear you. I hear the frustration in your voice. But those are really sort of the options that you have at this point if you haven't been able to reach him or find him yet.
Okay. Well, I know where he is. You know, things have gone to the house place. People have gone there. Sheriff's gone there. Everybody's gone there. But I guess he's kind of like knows that I'm searching for him, so he refuses to accept it or open the door or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Letitia. Letitia, calling from D.C. Letitia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I got married back when I was 18, and I've tried to file several times. I've tried to find the person I married. I went on social media. A couple of friends, mutual friends we've had, won't tell me where he is or claim they don't know anymore. I'm now 44, and I want to remarry, and it's kind of difficult. I can't get divorced.
Oh, wow.
How long has your husband been? When was the last time you saw him? How long ago?
When I was 19 years old.
Oh, my
She's
gracious.
44 now.
And you're 44.
Goodness.
Wow. What happens with that?
I mean, it's the same thing we've been talking about in terms of alternate service, because if you can get an order that allows you to post about your filing for divorce in a local newspaper, then you will still be able to go forward and finalize your divorce. If it was just that easy for someone to disappear and then no one could get divorced, I mean, then that would happen in a lot of instances. So there are still means available to you to proceed with your divorce, even without the other party being present. But you just have to go through all the steps and, you know, cross all your T's at all of your I's. So I would pursue that alternate service route so that you can move on with your life, because that's what's important at this point.
Yeah. And
25 years.
Yeah, it would appear to me also that, you know, with such an expansive amount of time that has passed, you know, after dotting all your I's and T's, I can't imagine that there would be someone who, a judge or anyone, who would say no.
Right. I mean, I've seen a lot, but I can't imagine that.
Yeah. I'm sure he's moved on with his life as well. So
yeah.
I think that you should go ahead and file. And I don't think anyone would deny you after being without him for 25 years.
Without a doubt. Letitia, thank you so much. Real quick, one of the things that you mentioned, Michelle, earlier about not doing this without an attorney, and yet are there circumstances under which you can, if both parties do not have attorneys?
If both parties do not have attorneys and there aren't any complicated issues like businesses or children that you're disagreeing over, if everything is pretty much we're going to take what we brought into the marriage with us, then sure, you can probably just find an agreement online and sign an agreement and then go and get your divorce. You know, I always advise that you have a lawyer look it over, because I know that you know, preserving your rights and being proactive up front is the best way to avoid regrets down the road. But if it's a basic case and there's no property that you're fighting over, no pensions, retirement accounts, then sure, then that's something you can probably do on your own.
Gail, when you mentioned earlier about the communications piece and getting people in the same room, how do you do that? How do you get them to sit down, particularly if they are separated, if they're already dealing with the process of divorce, but not yet perhaps not having a court date or not close to a court date? How do you get them to talk it out?
Well, a lot of times it just me being the mediator and saying, it's worth having a conversation. You have, you know, said before, people, God, the justice of the peace, that you're going to love, cherish, and hold this person forever. So at least they're worth that conversation. You know, a lot of times, people come to the arena, I would say the arena, with their boxing gloves on.
In this quarter.
Yes. And so I have
Very
to be
true.
There. They do. They come with their boxing gloves on. They come ready to hash it out, and they come with these preconceived notions. And I try to do a good job of saying, you know what? We're just going to sit here and allow this person to talk, because you guys obviously haven't had a real conversation in a long time. And this is the reason why you're in this situation. And I will tell you that out of the 10 years I've been doing this, I maybe have had three couples that just said, you know what, we can't do it. And they didn't get through the process. But for most part, even if they decided to divorce, they at least heard one another. They at least put down their boxing gloves and realized, you know what, this person is not so bad. We just can't stay in this. But at least we heard and we understand why we're separating. Because a lot of times you have built up so much stuff that you don't even realize why you're in this process or what went wrong, because you just keep adding on, and you get yourself so worked up.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Peter calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Peter. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, please.
Okay, I have about three or four questions.
You're not going to get three or four. I'm going to have to let you have one, so ask the most important, because I've got a lot of folks on the line.
All right. I'll do my best.
Okay, and turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy that was on there a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't afford to hiring an attorney.
Right.
But I know that you can go to the courts and go to the library, and they will assist you in executing whatever forms you need to. If she doesn't show up, I guess it will work in his favor. The other one is there a time limit on what do you call it, malicious prosecution? In other words, my ex-wife, over the past 20-something years, every opportunity she got, she tried to either get me in jail, hurt me, or something.
Okay. Let me see if Michelle can at least address either one of those questions, if you can, Michelle. What?
Sure. So you would want to look into whether there's a statute of limitations on the malicious prosecution. That would have to be filed as a separate action, separate from your divorce filing in most instances. And it's something, it's a realistic, you know, feeling. A lot of people feel like they have a spouse that's being vindictive and just filing motions and perhaps even false petitions for protective orders to get an unfair advantage in the case or with custody. So it happens. And people, this is a very real emotion. So you would just want to look into that further in your jurisdiction.
Mm. And you mentioned something earlier, Peter, about going to court and your spouse not showing up? Peter, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so you were saying going to court and she not showing up. What do you mean by that?
No, I was saying, he was saying he couldn't locate her.
Okay.
So he could still go to the library and fill out forms and everything else and push it forward. It's time for the court date. If she doesn't show up, things should work in his favor.
Okay, so what if he does file, as we've been discussing, and then he gets a court date and his spouse does not show up?
Sure. If the spouse has been served, mm-hmm. then there are steps you can take to achieve what's called a default. So you can get a default divorce, but there's a couple of hoops you have to jump through to do that. But that's what can happen if a spouse has been served and does not show up. Now, if the spouse has not been served at all, then the court's going to continue the case and give you another opportunity to have your spouse served.
Okay. Peter, good luck to you, and thank you so much for your phone call. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Kevin calling from Pennsylvania. We're also going to talk to Yvonne calling from Maryland. So stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about mistakes as you move towards divorce and perhaps what you can do to stay out of divorce court and live happily ever after. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about mistakes couples make when considering divorce and what to consider that could keep you out of divorce court. Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Yvonne, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Yvonne. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good afternoon. Good evening. Thank
Hi.
You for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling on behalf of my brother. He's in the process of getting a divorce, but he has an adult destitute child, and he wants visitation. His wife is being very nasty to him. They've been separated for 20 years, and she will not let him see their son. The son is 21 years old. And so now the judge is saying, well, you have to pay child support, even though he's 21, he's an adult, but you it's between the two of you to work out whether you get visitation or not. Is that acceptable? Because that's what the judge said.
Sure. So typically, if you're in Maryland, I mean, the age of custody and as well as child support is age 18. But it sounds like you were saying that
the child is destitute.
Well, that's what the court calls it. He's a special needs child.
I see.
Well, adult.
Mm-hmm.
And so the state, the county, or the state of Maryland takes care of him. He gets SSI funds for that. But the judge says, well, in addition to SSI, we still want you to pay as well, Dad. And Dad says, but she won't let me see him. Mm. And she will not allow him to see him. Now the boy is 21. He's an adult. And the judge is saying, well, I can't do anything about visitation. I can't force that because he's an adult. But I can force you to pay child support.
And, you know, unfortunately, that does sound about right. You know, if you have a child who is not independent, has special needs and the like, disabled, something along those lines, then the courts can require parents to support the child beyond the age of 18, which is the age of majority in Maryland for child support purposes. Conversely, with respect to custody, it's true that after age 18, that is typically out of the court's jurisdiction, or 19 in some circumstances, but that's typically out of the court's jurisdiction. So it definitely sounds like, you know, I can see how it feels unfair in that instance. And I don't know the severity of the, you know, disability or special needs and whether he can develop a relationship more so directly with the child as opposed to having to even go through the mother. But
Okay. Well, Yvonne, hopefully your brother will be able to resolve this to, you know, to his satisfaction and be able to see his son. But I thank you so much for sharing that with us. I want to ask Gail a question real quick, because this is something we haven't really touched on in this conversation. How should a couple that is moving through this process where they're trying to reconcile or they're moving towards divorce, if you have minor children, let's say under the age of 15, mm-hmm. how do you speak to children about this process?
I believe that a lot of times we as adults don't value their feelings. I believe that you should have a conversation with the child and tell them what is going on in the situation, because a lot of times children have a perspective that we don't even think that they have. They understand that, you know, mommy and daddy are not getting along. They hear you yelling and screaming. They hear all of those things. But I believe that when you have a conversation with them and you tell them, listen, we are in a situation where we don't want to put you where you're constantly hearing us, you know, battle. We're not on the same page. We love you, and we're going to try to make sure that you're taken care of in this process. Because a lot of times you just wake up, and I know in my situation, my mom and my dad were split, and we didn't even have a say. And so I had abandonment issues growing up because my father left, and I didn't understand why he left. And so I believe that children are smart, they're resilient, and I believe that you can have a conversation with them and allow them to be a part of the process. And I believe that when you put the child in the center, and I'm not saying make them the focal point, but when you respect them and give them a say and explain to them what is going on, I believe that you behave better as an adult, because you don't want to see that child torn apart. You don't want to see that child feeling abandoned. And a lot of times they will be able to express what they're feeling and how they want to see this process go forward. And I've seen children say, you know what, I do believe you guys just split because it bothers me to hear you yelling and screaming and those kind of things. Now, how can we work this out? Will I be able to spend time with daddy? Will I be able to spend time with mommy? And you're able to have a dialogue. And I think sometimes it comes out better when you do involve the child. And I'm not saying to the level where you're talking about finances and all those kind of things, but just having a general conversation to allow them to express their feelings.
Kevin, calling from Pennsylvania. Thanks for hanging on, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Yes, I got a question.
Sure.
If you're going through a divorce and your wife makes more money than you and you don't have custody of the kids, will you necessarily be liable to pay spousal support?
Is child support or spousal support?
Spousal support.
Okay. If she makes more money than he does, would he be, and the wife, the estranged wife, has custody, would he be required to pay spousal support?
Sure. So custody is typically not going to be a factor that the courts consider in determining spousal support. That's what the courts will certainly consider when determining child support. But there's a whole lot of other things that go into whether or not you're going to be required to pay spousal support. If the spouse makes more money than you. I mean, you wouldn't be required to pay your wife spousal support in most instances under those circumstances. But the two are not that related in from a court's perspective.
Mm-hmm. How old is the child, Kevin?
15 and 12.
15 and 12. Okay. And the both children are with your estranged wife?
Correct.
They are. Okay. Are you paying child support? Has that been discussed?
That hasn't been determined yet.
It hasn't. Okay.
I mean, there is a chance that even though she makes more money than you with the children living with her, you could still have to pay child support.
So, and where is she? Is she in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say again?
Yes.
She is in Pennsylvania as well. Okay.
So you would have to check with an attorney in Pennsylvania to determine what your obligations would be.
But as far as the spousal support, is more factors to be determined as far as where they're coming up with that figure, what you're saying?
In this area, that's the case. So in Pennsylvania, you definitely want to check with an attorney there that can help you figure out exactly what the courts are going to consider in determining alimony.
Okay. Right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much, and good luck to you. Let's talk a little bit about how one should conduct oneself in court, Michelle, because this is... You've got your People's Court on TV.
Yes. That is not how any of this works.
You've got
in real
the real
life.
Thing. You've got your three judges on TV. You got your one judge, and you got your
wow.
You know, so none of that is the way
not
that it goes
how,
in court.
Please, okay. Please, no.
What's the difference?
Oh God. I mean, first of all, in real life, I mean, the courts go into a lot more detail. You need to make sure you're prepared, that you show up to court with all of your documentation, and that you present it in a respectful manner, that you don't interrupt. No one's yelling across a courtroom or things of that nature. If you do, there's going to be consequences for that. So that's not
consequences such as?
Such as a bailiff coming to visit you at your table and escort you out kindly of the courtroom. So it's definitely not like that. But in real life, you want to make sure that you're definitely prepared and try to leave the anger that you might be feeling out of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of parties, particularly if they're pro se, there might be a vindictive element.
Pro se, for those of us that didn't
go
to law
school. Right. So if you do not have an attorney, then a lot of people are acting on emotion. So you're tempted to engage in emotional outbursts. That won't go well. Mm-hmm. That won't go well for you. You're tempted to, you know, accuse the other person without having any actual evidence or facts to support what you're saying. So no judge cares about your feelings. They want to know, what are the actual facts? How can you prove those facts? And that's what you want to focus on when you go into court here in real life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's certainly something to consider. I would imagine, Gail, that... Have you been in court with any of the people that you were coaching?
Actually, I have.
and did before the gavel falls, you know, did they look at you? What happened?
Yes, they did. And, you know, this was a situation where I actually supported the divorce, and I stand for marriage, but I actually supported the divorce because they were not being treated fairly. They were being abused in the situation. And so for me, I really instructed my client to not be vindictive, to take off her boxing gloves, to conduct herself as a lady, don't lower her standards or her morals, and to allow the process to work and not to get emotional, because court is not moved by your tears and your emotions. They're moved by facts. Mm-hmm. And so we just made sure that she had her facts in order and that she was able to articulate exactly what happened in the situation and why she should be granted the divorce. Mm-hmm. And so...
What do you suggest for, and this is particularly interesting. I remember I was at an event a couple of years ago. I was emceeing an event, and it was a love and marriage relationship kind of an event. And a guy got on stage, he took the mm-hmm. microphone, came in from the audience, and he said that he and his wife remarried. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy, 30s or so. They had divorced and then they, you know, they remarried. What advice would you have for someone who is considering remarrying someone that they've already divorced?
I would say to them, if they have not resolved the issues that made them divorce in the first place, that they will probably be headed back to the divorce court. Because to me, if lepers really don't change their spots, they just able to camouflage them. And if you got a divorce the first time, right, and I'm not saying that it can't work the second time, but you have to really pinpoint and work out those issues that led you down that road the first time. And I always tell people, and I have a couple people that did remarry because they got married really young and they was immature and they needed to, you know, experience life. And then when they got more mature, they just hadn't forgot about that person and they rekindled their love. But they had to work through those issues and realize that I'm not the same person that you married the first time.
I'm going to have to let that be the last word, Michelle Thomas and Gail Crowder. Thank you both for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Well, that is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 1st. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio.